Oh.
Okay.
It's recording our Zoom, but the meeting hasn't really started yet. But
yeah.
And I don't know where Tyler keeps his presentation. So for now, I'll wait for him to come and
go. Committee, committee.
That's where I have my stuff, but I'm not sure if he puts his things in here. So I can't remember where he went last time. Does he have maybe he has a someone here? No. Does he have his name there? I don't know. We'll wait and see what he has. I think he puts it on a shared drive somewhere, but the golf course committee one is what I use for like the agendas and minutes and things like that, but I don't think he uses it. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Roger.
Karen, how are you?
Oh, fine. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. You get to sign in too. I know all of the new stuff.
You get to sign in, oh boy. Please print.
Yeah. It all looks.
Well, we can look at ourselves for a minute and I'll let Tyler find it.
It's probably the easiest way.
Yeah.
You should know exactly where it is.
Yes, you will. So, do you live up by the golf course, both of you?
I live.
Yep.
Yeah, about halfway down. You know where Eagle Pass is, where the twin homes are.
Uh-huh.
I live in one of those.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, my sister and I share a place there.
Okay.
So.
On Eagle Pass, huh?
Uh huh.
I'm on Eagle Point Drive.
Uh huh.
Which is right. Really, a wedge away from the third green of the golf course. Depending on how far you hit a wedge.
I was going to say, mine.
Might be a Tiger Woods wedge. Yeah, a Tiger Woods wedge. So let's say that.
So are you in that cul-de-sac then right there?
No. You know where the stake center is?
Yeah.
You got the stake center, and then you've got vacant lots, which I previously owned. And then you have my house.
Oh, well, cool. Uh-huh. Oh, that's nice then. Okay. Yeah, we've been watching that one by the green, where they did a recreation center and connected it to a house.
Yeah, so you have the Allens who live right behind the third green.
Uh-huh.
And the one right next to them, the Andersons, they put in a big pool house and huge swimming pool. And
recreation center, they've got equipment up there.
Yeah, fitness center, yeah.
And then what they did is put a walkway between the two.
That's
you know, and we kept thinking, okay, how many kids do they have? Hey, there's John. Hi, John.
Yay.
Oh, he's got his mute on.
Hopefully he can hear us.
Is John Zooming this week? It's not coming.
He's looking. He's trying to figure out.
Come in, John.
Sometimes it takes a minute too for the
sound to catch
up. Looks
like he's muted. He's got the
he's still mute, and I can see our mic is working for us. But hopefully, it'll work.
Yeah, right now he's on mute. He's thinking about it. We've been up using the simulator.
Oh, have you? How's that?
That's fun.
It's good.
It takes a little bit to get used to it because you're only like 10, 12 feet away from the screen.
Yeah.
And you're hitting a ball and you don't know what the ball is going to do. Well, the screen or that absorbs the hit. So it just kind of rolls back.
And it has a laser tracking system that tracks the shape of your shots.
Yeah, there's That's John. Awesome.
Now we have sound. Can you hear us, John?
Can you hear us, John? Stand on your head if you can hear us.
Oh, now he's here.
There we go. Now can you hear us?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you, yes. I don't know what was wrong. My computer didn't want to work, but can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you as well.
Yep.
John, where are you?
I'm at home. Got back from about 10-day cruise out of San Juan down to the British and American Virgin Islands and so forth. A little stormy down and all. Had a great time. Came back. It was really great on Monday. All of a sudden, Tuesday morning, I woke up and I was really starting to feel bad and just got worse. The good thing is I've taken 2 COVID tests. It's negative on that. So it's just a bad cold, I guess. But,
so it's not COVID. It's just Legionnaire's disease.
Yeah.
John, the other thing you need to watch for is adult RSV. And it is rampant right now.
Yeah.
What is that?
Adult RSV. Respiratory
virus.
Normally it's kids.
Uh-huh.
But right now the adults are having a really hard time with it.
It's hitting kids and the elderly hard right now.
Yeah. In fact, I have a niece who's an MD and she has been really sick. Of course, she's a pediatrician.
Yeah.
So kid that came in.
Two grandchildren, twins.
So,
just a few
so be really careful with that. And if it hits, that part hits, it's like all of a sudden you can't breathe.
Oh, okay. I haven't had a breathing problem. I checked that right away to make sure my lungs were okay. I think it's just a really bad head cold. And by now, like today, I started to feel better. You know how when your head's all
wrapped
up, it feels like you're in a balloon or something and all. But I'm getting somewhat back to normal now. So, you know.
Well, let's hope then. Yeah. Well, the RSV doesn't last as long as some of the others, but it's pretty bad when it's going. So,
yeah. I mean, when you go on a cruise, you always say, I hope nothing happens while we're on the cruise. Fortunately, we were with Windstar and 300 people on board, but nothing happened. So,
And then you get home.
Right. I might drive somewhere. See if I can find it.
If I watch you, then I'll be able to find it and save it for tomorrow and not have to ask you for it.
Let's see. Go.
My drawing call.
Golf committee.
Okay.
Uh-huh. We forgot to look at that. It's working on it, huh?
And then, you'll just share your screen. Lisa has the link. You obviously sent it to John.
Yeah.
So thank you. Okay. And I think Ken's going to come in a minute.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye. Thank you.
Tyler, what's new and improved since yesterday? Anything?
Nothing good.
Anything bad?
No, nothing bad either.
Oh, that's good.
Other than we can't be up there golfing. I had to go to Stonebridge today.
A bit
instead.
Cold out there.
Did you go out to Stonebridge today?
Yeah.
I'll bet that was cold.
I have a cart cover for that one. And so we just, since the other one is up at up the course. And it was a gorgeous day. The fun part is that for some reason, there was nobody in front of us and nobody behind us.
Huh.
And of course, the ground is hard enough. My ball really goes.
Goes
much further. Than
goes normal. Forever, huh?
Yeah, I really like that. It's
a frozen tundra.
Let's see. Did Wendy start the recording?
It's not as good as
I think she did start the recording.
Yeah. Does this mean we have a majority of we've got John and
Roger? Yeah, I think this might be all that's coming. So if we want to get started, John, we're probably good to go.
Hey, good. Well, I wish I was there, but Zoom's amazing. If you can be there and spread all your germs at home. My wife's paranoid that she's going to get the same thing. But welcome, everybody. And I guess the first item would be to approve the August 10th minutes. Everybody have a chance to look at them?
Yep.
I did. I moved that we approved the minutes.
I second it.
All right. Then everybody in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? All right. Minutes are approved. Revenue update, Tyler.
So I just want to start with rounds. So this kind of gives you the last, I think I had 7 or 8 years on there, 8 years. So this is fiscal year, July through June. So we're at 38,604 as of today. So it just gives you an idea of we've got a good amount of time left and we're already pretty close to historic averages. So we've had a good summer and fall golf. Here's your fiscal year revenues. So we're already at 1.172 million compared to just a little over 2 million for the full fiscal year last year. Give you an idea on October revenue, we did $231,000 in revenue, which was a record October. September was down a little bit, but we also had, like I mentioned, in August, and those I've talked to, we had some tournaments in September that didn't pay us until October. So that's why October is a little inflated. So really, September was a record year and October was a record, or record month, sorry. September was a record month and October was a record month as well. November, we've had 2 days of actual golfing. So revenues are pretty low, but we did get the $35,000 check from our late September event. So November's revenue actually shows about $50,000, when in reality, we've probably done $15,000. And most of that's been merchandise. We cleared out all of our merchandise credits. We have a balance of about $9,900 that hasn't been spent. I'll probably give the late gummers and some of the men's association guys another week to clear it out. But that'll go straight on revenues. So
fantastic.
We like that. That helps our margins on the merchandise sales.
And is everybody who had a tournament or an outing paid their ticket now?
Yeah, outstanding invoice we have is from Roy High School still. Yeah, they owe some money for some merchandise, but I'm still waiting on that check. They told me it's coming. I check the mail every day.
Checks in the mail, huh?
Yeah. So, you know, ending pretty good. We're going to have a Black Friday sale right after Thanksgiving. We'll probably run for about a week, and then we'll do some Christmas sale as well, just probably a week before Christmas. Staff-wise, we'll have someone there pretty much Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, even if we're not open, just for merchandise sales and then working on winter projects. And then after Christmas, as long as we're not open, we'll kind of shut the doors and the building's done. Fingers crossed.
Any chance of golfing this weekend?
We may have the back nine open tomorrow. It's supposed to be a little warmer.
Oh, good.
Kind of waiting on number 10, so it may be the afternoon, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we may be at least on the back nine. Front nine has quite a bit of snow still. But
good. We'll switch over then.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I may have to play the back twice. So that's kind of where we're at on revenues. Merchandise, we're about $178,000 through the month of November, which is pretty good too. Last couple of years, we've been at 300 or a little over in merchandise sales, so we should get there again.
Do you have any idea, just ballpark, how much you have left in the shop inventory-wise?
I should have done inventory. Well, I'm doing inventory count in January. I would say we're probably close to 60, 65,000. We've got quite a bit.
Okay.
It's been a little intentional. Normally, on a golf course side, you know, by the end of November, you want to have a lot of your stuff cleared out.
Yeah.
Hard good wise, we're good. Okay, I don't have hardly any golf clubs that aren't being carried over. We have a few ping drivers that we need to get rid of. Other than that, the stuff that's going to be new, you know, like new Titleist drivers and new ping drivers, we're pretty good on that end. I brought in a lot of late merchandise just because I've needed them. We've done well.
Yeah.
A lot of it's not going to be, oh, you brought this in last year. I've got boxes sitting on the back counter that I'm just holding on to. So we'll kind of open some of those up, spring stuff. For my fiscal year budget's the same for 12 months, you know, Some courses will bring stuff in March, even April.
That'll be good to have some of those things for your Black Friday and your holiday sale, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's good.
So hopefully get a better variety, a few more sales in November and December, and see what we can do marketing-wise. I did work on a little e-commerce store. We have an e-commerce site that's connected to our point-of-sale system that we really haven't used. But I put a few, some gift cards and some punch cards and things like that on e-commerce site. You'll probably get an email from me day before Thanksgiving with that link. You guys can check it out. But hopefully get a few sales on there for some Black Friday discounts for people.
Did you bring in anything special just for Black Friday? Or
I brought in some holiday sweaters, for Christmas. I brought in some, there's some Nike hats, some more Nike stuff. We got some outerwear, a few things for kind of the winter season, but also for spring if we don't sell through. So.
What's your take on the how did the construction and the golf shop being kind of disheveled during most of the season? What was the impact on sales? Would you say you still did about what you wanted to, or a little bit less? Or?
More than historically, but I think it hurt us a little bit.
Well, yeah, sure, you think so? Yeah.
You know, we're still all time high, even through fiscal year. Compared to last and then the year before, but some of that's construction, some of that's just training and staff. We had a meeting today on a few things, and one of those is going to be how do we, in a sense, how do we upsell? How do we get some things moving a little, even if it's $2 or $3 per transaction, and those things add up. So,
how many staffers were in on the meeting?
We had Brent, myself, Alan. Kelsey and Braden, kind of my high hour workers. It's kind of the two seasonal employees. That was kind of their last day today, but they're going to be doing a lot for me next year. So wanted to kind of get some opinions and ideas and things from them before they took off for the season. So it was good.
Yeah, you got a good team.
Yeah. I'm excited about next year to have things done that way.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I could say, they're all really helpful, you know, much more than when you go to a lot of places. So you got a good group there.
Yeah, I hope so. I think I can do a better job on training our lower hour part-time wage employees, getting them familiar with policies and how to help customers. And that's one thing we'll stress and work on. We talked today about having an outside starter and outside services and paid marshals and things like that to kind of put us up above some other public golf courses. So.
Sounds good.
These are some recommendations on rates I wanted to just address today before they go to city council for a fee change. Highlighted in yellow are really the changes. So I'm looking at going from 18 to 19 and from 36 to 38 on green fees. And then cart fees would stay the same since we bumped those up this last year in preparation for the new carts. So really the base number I look at is the 58. That's over close to 75% of our fees. Our normal paying base rate customers. That is going to be kind of middle pack for what I'd call the higher end public courses. Bonneville and Mountaindale are going to be at 60. From what I'm told, Bountiful Ridge weekend rate will be 56. And then Valley View and Davis will be at that 56 as well. So we'll be kind of higher end Davis County, with middle of the pack for, you know, within the 10 mile radius of what I compare us to. So
do you feel like the small increase is worth the kickback you might get?
Yeah.
And is it worth being a couple dollars above the immediate competition?
Yeah. And I was a little bit worried about that last year going because we were $4 at the time higher, than Battle Bridge's higher rate. That was their weekend rate. Yeah. And then $6 cheaper than their weekday rate. I didn't get hardly any pushback. There's a few customers like, well, you guys are more than so-and-so, and which I think is fine.
Well, the thing is, you know, with new carts and other things and a new clubhouse,
yeah,
you can justify it.
Yeah.
So if you do get any pushback, I mean, we can assist you in putting together a little card or whatever, and you can use for training your people too, how you respond to that.
Yeah.
Because I think it can easily be justified.
So. Yeah, I mean, you know, just the amount of money that I want to spend next year on part-time wages to make the experience better for the customers, we could justify it. But, you know, you're right with the building and the new carts and bag stands.
New everything, really. Right. I mean, it's a whole new, and quite honestly, you know, perception is reality. You know, if the perception is, you know, hey, that's really an upscale daily fee course.
Yeah.
You know, if you're priced accordingly, then it speaks to that. Yeah. And
that's true. I think if our Google rating was 4.4 and
couldn't do it. Yeah.
You know, if we had the reputation of not being a nice golf course, then it's a little bit harder of a stretch to say, well, we're more than Battle Ridge. But I think having that kind of, I want to say elitism, but a little bit of like, yeah, we are nice, and we.
No, it's an upscale. Yeah. It's an upscale facility, all the way from A to Z, and so yeah. I mean, I wouldn't, I wouldn't be ashamed of it at all. Yeah. So.
And frankly, if someone says, "Well, you guys got to pay for your renovation somehow," I'll say, "Yeah, we do."
That's right. That's business. Yeah. That's reality. Yeah.
In the scheme of things, I mean, it's a pretty small increase compared to gasoline, butter, and eggs. I mean, people are kind of getting used to everything going up. So it's kind of, you know, one of those things that, especially when you look at who plays golf, I mean, there's not too many people that I notice ever even ask what the price is. They just come in and put their credit card up there and say 18.
Yeah. I would say the locals are more price sensitive. And when I say locals, it's Bountiful residents and North Salt Lake residents, right. But a lot of our play has been coming from Salt Lake, out of town, some locals, but those that aren't as price sensitive think it's a good deal.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah. I've had people comment on, yeah, hey, are you sure you're charging me enough?
Yeah.
And they're used to $90, you know, for an 18 holer. And so,
yeah, most people don't usually point that out. But no, I mean, that modest increase doesn't even cover inflation, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So, I mean, it's easy to justify.
And if Bonneville and Mountaindale and everybody else, you know, I wish Bountiful Ridge would have increased when we had done an increase rather than, I think their tactic is to stay a little bit behind us. So we'll be the driving force for a lot of these other Davis County courses. Far as price,
no, that's fine. Be a leader. Don't be a follower. Yeah. Be a leader.
Mm-hmm. You know, fine. We'll push it that way.
But keep, you know, close tabs on everything too. You don't want to.
They'll make less money than us.
You don't want to be on a. You don't want to be up on a pedestal. You know, you want to be in contact. You know, with the market.
Yeah.
You know.
And I, speaking of what Ken just mentioned, I'm working on a little report that kind of is doing some budget comparison to Battle Ridge and the other Davis County courses. So. Hope to have that done. Maybe one of our first meetings next year. I'll kind of share it with you, but it's shows how well the golf course has done compared to everyone else. So it's been kind of fun. The ladies' day rates will go from 20 and 40 to 25 and 45, and I want to mention that will now include their game fee. So for the weekly fee, we're just gonna, if they want the deal, then they'll have to play in the ladies league, and then we'll make some preparations for that too. So that's why it goes up from 25 to 45, because we're giving them basically the same PGA book rate for 18.
How many ladies is that, does that apply to?
We had 75 to 80 signed
That's up great.
For the league last year.
That's great.
We'd only have anywhere from 8 to 12 yeah, play every 12. Week. One thing that's going to help is we'll have Kelsey run the league, and she'll play in it. So I think having her a little bit more
yep.
there and invested will have a little bit more of a ladies' presence with the
I mean, Alan has done a great job.
He has. Yeah. And he would be the first to admit that the ladies.
What about the men's league?
So that'll be the same. I've got them 25, basically the punch card rate, and then they're still paying the 13. So they're actually more. They're okay. $38 to play on Monday. So
how many total in the men's league?
We had 155 in the league and average probably around 50, 55. High, I think, was around 75. Yeah. So we're increasing there. You know, we went from 30, 35 a week to 40, 45 a week and 50, 55 a week this past year and slowly creeping up. PGA book rate have going from $40 to $45. And then kind of matching that rate for our Friday, Saturday, Sunday rate after two, we'll go from 40 to 45. And 20, the 9-hole rate will go from 20 to 25, and then the 18-hole rate will go from 40 to 45. So it kind of matches the ladies' day rates. The private cart fee change from 6 and 12, I'll get some frustration there, and that's okay. I think I want to keep them more in line with what our cart fees are.
Right.
This still gives them, it's basically a 50% discount. So this is per cart, not per person. So to do 18, they pay 20.
And they still have to be grandfathered in. You're not going to accept any new newbies on that, right?
Yep, so they've got to be on the list, which I have on there December 31st, but I'll probably give them those that we know have carts that maybe missed signing up. First part of the year.
And is that about 12 now?
Yeah, it's probably about a dozen, 12 to 18, I think, total. So it's not very many. And grandfathering them in will slowly, as people move away, as people sell their carts, we'll kind of slowly get rid of them. No changes on the city employee, corporate, Eaglewood employees. So I've got the afternoon special change. And then juniors, PGA book and ladies times, I should put times, stay the same. So juniors Monday through Wednesday, PGA book Monday to Thursday anytime, and then ladies day on Wednesday.
Sorry, Tyler, when you say city employee, our rates just change with the cart rate, right?
Yes.
So they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So the PGA, or the
we're not, parts. In other words, we're not keeping the employees at a lower rate.
Yeah.
Than the cart rate.
Yeah. So they'll still be at the
whatever the new cart rate is.
Yeah, that's the only thing that will change.
Yeah,
good for them going.
I wanted to make sure we were doing that. I'm supportive of doing that. Just so we don't get too far off.
How many employees are taking advantage of the?
You know, we had under a dozen, and I knew it wasn't too many. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a few of the golf community members, but actual city employees was very low. You know, a dozen the most. Yeah,
they bought a card and used it twice.
Right. Mostly public works guys, but
yeah,
you know, love having them up there. I wish they'd play more.
Yeah, I wish employees would play more. It's good to it's good to have.
I wish they'd play in our men's league. Those types of things we'll try to encourage them. So event center rate change. This was $18.50 for a 6-hour rental during the week, and then it was $22.50 on the weekend. Just trying to simplify. So it doesn't matter what day of the week you book it for a 6-hour rental, you're $2,300, and then a 12-hour rental is $3. Tracy, Jump, and I looked at a lot of different facilities, their rates. This is kind of middle to, I would say middle market for the facility. Some of the higher end that charge more are a little more involved. They'll have an event coordinator there. They're helping during the event. We're really just an event center space that people are renting. So we wanted to
reflect. So if you do a wedding reception, it's a mandatory 12-hour rental, isn't it?
We've found that to be the case. I was telling Ken earlier, We had a lot of 6-hour rentals. Let's say if someone booked from 4 to 10, a couple of days before, they would call, what time can we come and decorate? Well, yeah. You can come at 4 when your rental starts. So we've kind of changed how we're focusing there and making sure people understand, you know, the 6-hour rental is really going to be for a small luncheon, a quick gathering for business
gathering, yeah.
And then the 12 rentals are going to be for weddings, receptions, events. So.
How do you handle that with the tournaments?
So we're going to be, I don't have it today because we haven't really finalized how much we're going to charge, but so we're going to, this is all in attempts to make more money, which I think everyone here is okay with. We're going to start charging a flat fee for Friday and Saturday golf tournaments. And the reason being is if we have, for example, a Saturday tournament wants to tee off at 8, we're already losing a little bit of revenue early in the morning because we're not playing.
It goes from 6 to 8.
And then we've got to get them out before an event starts, which we're going to book most weekends. We've had to push weddings and receptions to start at 3, which limits our 12-hour rental. So by eliminating or charging more for tournaments on the weekends, we kind of maximize that revenue more. So as busy as we've been with public play, we haven't had a hard time filling up tee times. We've been booked Saturdays and Sundays and most Fridays.
Yeah.
We're looking around $8,000 to $8,500 per Friday, which comes out to be about $60 per person, and then $10,000 for Saturday, which is about $70 per person. So
that's a good way to do that.
A big increase. The Ridge has done that for several years.
Yeah.
They only have tournaments Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I believe.
They do now. Yeah.
And then they kind of do the same thing. They have events on the weekends and then cater to the members and public class. So, and Paul over there, he's done a good job with it. So that's kind of what the model we're following to see how we do. We'll have a few grandfathered in tournaments that have had, you know, first June and first Saturday in June for a long time. I don't want to immediately say, well, you guys have to pay X amount of dollars if you want to have it. We'll kind of look how we structure and how we build those out and get them kind of in line for next year.
Yeah.
So what about when you have a Saturday tournament and they want to use the event center after golf?
For a luncheon or whatever.
For a luncheon and a prize giving or
well, and I think that's why we charge more is to kind of recoup that cost off of not having an event. We'll focus on having our tournaments that we don't use the event center for on days I've already got weddings and items booked. So that way we can still have a 12-hour wedding, but still...
So just balance and, and schedule according.
I don't think we're going to have too big of an issue. There weren't too many corporate Saturday tournaments. A lot of them had moved.
They were mainly on weekdays.
Mostly weekdays. I'd say there's only 5 or 6 that we're really going to have to push. And one we've already kind of told, they were on Friday and they said it's going to be significantly more. So they moved to Thursday, which is great.
So if they want the event center for 2 hours, do you just, after their tournament, do you just bill it to 200 an
hour? We haven't charged at all. So it's just kind of included in their fee.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good for them.
Yeah. It is good to.
Especially if they find out what it usually costs.
Yeah. You should charge something, quite honestly. And again, you can justify it because there is cleanup involved and,
we've talked about this and thrown it around. If we do have some funds left over from the bond, I would still like to look at doing a small pavilion area on the back of the range that can seat 100 people for those 90 to 120 player tournaments that say, yeah, you have a tournament here. You can have lunch after in the pavilion, or it is X amount of dollars if you want to use it.
Is there room on the range to accommodate that?
Yeah.
What would it be on the west end or the east side?
Yeah, kind of on the northwest side. So closer
northwest.
To
okay.
Yeah, kind of where those choke cherry trees are.
Okay.
We'd have to do some grading. We had one tournament that was first week of October when event center was being remodeled. We put some tables and chairs out and they had
nice. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. It worked out good. That's kind of the area that we're thinking.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It'll lead into the driving range a little bit, but we can manage that. That was pretty easy. Anyways. That's
good.
A bigger project. I'm looking at options that would be cheaper. Obviously, a nice built-out pavilion with a roof and structure would be very expensive. I'm thinking more of, you know, something with some shade cover that doesn't necessarily protect you from the elements, but it's
almost of, like kind of a big gazebo type.
Yeah, thing pergola type gazebo. And I can show you, maybe at the end, remind me, I'll pull up a picture of what I'm thinking.
Okay.
We've got a, for the event center, a change from 20% to 10% discount. It won't be as reflected on these rates as it was, but, you know, we were charging some luncheon rates and had some North Salt Lake residents, which I don't blame them for it, to really take advantage of our $600 luncheon rate for 3 hours. And then they wanted to come in early and decorate. They ended up getting 5 hours for, you know, $420. And it just wasn't worth it for us to try to manage. So we're kind of getting away from the luncheons. I'd like to drop our 20% discount down to 10, which is still significant. I mean, that's $230 there and $300 there. And that's still a considerable discount. Charge $300 for ceremony setup. So it's either on the deck or inside. They've got a non-refundable deposit, which doesn't change. Alcohol deposit. So if they have our beverage, our preferred bartender come and serve, they've got to pay just more of an alcohol cleaning, security, damage deposit for that. And then their deposit will kind of transition into this security / cleaning deposit the day of their event. But does that make sense?
What's the city's liability, Ken, when there's an event up there at the event center serving alcohol?
We don't have liability. The bartender does.
Yep.
And so they bring their own alcohol. Yep.
So for private events, it's really who's serving. So the alcohol preferred bartender holds.
Has to have
their
the license.
Alcohol liability insurance.
There's a license and they have all liability.
Yeah, and they're required to not serve drinks to people who they shouldn't serve to, just like a bartender.
Okay.
You know, that kind of
thing. They have to go through
make
that
sure
school.
All the rules.
They have to follow the law.
Yeah. Okay.
It's COPA. I'll pull up the website too, or maybe I'll email it to everybody. But it's COPA.
Yeah.
He's probably the highest rated bartending service in Salt Lake. He's a little expensive. I think it's $280 for 4 hours, and then he charges per person depending on whether you do beer and wine or cocktails. Kind of has a variety there. But.
And he's charging the event. The people who are holding the event, not us.
Yeah, so it's really more of a caterer, if you look at it that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you make sure the alcohol that's coming in, is that under your license or is it under theirs?
It would be under theirs.
Okay.
We can help coordinate. We'll make it very clear in our agreement that they're signing, as well as the alcohol agreement, that if you're breaking these rules, you're forfeiting all of your deposit plus whatever damages. Or
so if you're having a wedding reception up there, you can bring your own alcohol or you cannot.
A reception is a little bit different where you've got rotating guests, but if you're doing a luncheon dinner type thing, it's considered a private party and you can do
so. You can bring in your own alcohol. So
it's got to be served.
So who polices how the alcohol is served?
That's going to be us and the bartender to determine.
Okay.
If it's brought in or not. So we're not allowing anyone to just bring in and serve their own alcohol.
They can bring it in,
but they can't serve it. Exactly. That's the line, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
So if we do notice, and it's going to be on those at renting, you know, your uncle brought in a six pack. That's not our responsibility. That's the whoever's renting the facility to make sure that they're not bringing it in, and they notify them. But ultimately, it is their fault, and we'll take their fault.
You know, it's just like us not allowing golfers to bring beer.
Yeah.
They have to buy their beer from us.
I was going to ask about this, too, because, you know, we've got the simulation. Are we allowing alcohol in there?
No.
Because
if you've seen
unless,
it, let me know.
I did last night. Unless
maybe
it's,
I need some signs down there. Probably
that's what I'm wondering, because they brought in food and alcohol. Or I don't know, IBF or whatever.
IPA, yeah.
IBA, is that a beer?
Yeah, it's a beer.
Okay, then they brought it in.
Okay. I'll get some signs and I'll maybe send an email to all the memberships.
So. Okay. And I hate to tell you who did it, but you can see.
Well, if there aren't signs up, then they can claim, you know.
Yeah. And that's what I wonder.
Once you put signs up, then notices.
So in their membership paperwork, do we say no alcohol?
I'm not sure if it specifically says alcohol there. I'll have to look. If it doesn't, we need to add it.
And I was also wondering about food.
Food's okay as long as they clean up after themselves, keep off of the simulator.
Yeah, exactly. And we may need somebody to come in and at least vacuum or have a vacuum available because I'm noticing we've got a few simulators would be fun when you can't go out. and I have noticed that it probably just needs a quick.
Okay, we'll get it on the list.
But I was worried about the alcohol last night.
But when the restaurant becomes 100% functional, are you going to allow?
Yeah, as long as down there, as long as they purchase it from us, I don't. They can drink it out.
So. Same rules as the golf course. Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's an interesting thing we could offer from the restaurant down to the simulators. Maybe there's a way to order food.
We can
have that employee bring it down to people.
And that
make it feel more like a country club.
Yeah. When you have a party or a gathering down there, eventually you're going to have a couple of bachelor parties and things down there.
Except they can only bring three people plus the person who signed off on it, unless you're going to change that.
If we do some group events, it may be a little different than the simulator regulations.
They have to use both simulators then or something equivalent. Okay.
Yeah, they'd have to rent both.
I'm very protective of those simulators.
Me too.
Yeah.
They're nice.
The other facilities that have gone to simulators, especially in the Northeast where, they're closed, the golf course is closed all winter.
Yeah.
Food and beverage has been a really big source of income for them. So, of course, we're in the very early stages, but eventually.
Yeah, running leagues.
F&B can be a really, really nice source of revenue during the winter.
Yeah.
As well as, a good source of revenue through club fitting and lessons.
We had PXG down there for 9 hours yesterday. I haven't heard how many clubs he sold, but.
Yeah. I was helping him. Take his stuff out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
who was it from PXG?
Garrett.
Garrett Click?
Yeah.
I think that's
his name. It might be his last name. That's kind of
worked out pretty well, too.
Oh, did he?
So how did that work? Did PXG rent the space?
Yeah, so he's, we have basically a commission agreement that he will give us a portion of sales. We could do it one of two ways. We could purchase it and then resell them to customers, or he'll order them for us and then just send a check to the city. So it's actually pretty sweet.
Do the latter one.
I told him I
wouldn't buy anything PXG stuff up front.
Kind of wanted to stay away from it. So
they're really hot or cold. I mean, somebody who's going to buy that is set on buying PXG.
So we'll do a couple more fittings with him. What's nice is anything that's run through the simulators, commissions will come to us. So even if he has golfers that are from Oak Ridge or Battle Ridge, he'll do fittings.
Here. That's a good system.
So
that's good. That's good to do.
Some free checks coming.
Have to have TaylorMade or anybody else?
Yeah, so we've got as soon as stuff's available, I've got two fittings in January with TaylorMade. Callaway, we've got a couple scheduled. Ping, he's just waiting on when stuff will be available. And then Titleist talked to Jerry today. We'll set up a fitting day with Jack. Probably doing simulators. So I'd like to get some pre-sales done January, February.
That's great. So. Yeah, that's a great time of year because you can't, here you can't play outside. So. Yeah.
So we'll hopefully see some big jumps merchandise-wise in the months. This is more internal. I'm just looking at wages for next year. I know these are a lot of numbers. Basically, on the bottom, it's showing you different grades, and I would put different types of seasonal employees in those grades. So for example, we'd have our outside services, so our cart attendants and kind of the high school kids that are working in the snack shack on grade one. Grade two might be more people working in the snack shack that are going to serve alcohol, more, a little higher qualifications there, equipment or grounds maintenance, probably grade two. And then grade three, I think we have equipment operator and kind of a line cook on those lines. So that kind of really just giving you a range of where I'm thinking we're going to have to advertise for positions next year.
Yes.
As far as pay rates. So, but it's gone up a little bit. It's kind of starting wages were about where I had people at this year. We have a few long-term employees that are kind of on step one, step two, step three. Got one equipment operator on maintenance. It's probably middle of the pack there. So all of our current employees are on this step grade kind of portion, but as we're advertising, I think this will help us be a little more competitive.
Tyler, did they also get the free golf with the positions or?
Yeah, all of our seasonal employees have, as long as they're working. And I did have a few kind of abuse it a little bit and we took it away from them. But for the most part, we've done pretty good on employees playing, which will kind of expand with the cook and the kitchen and snack shack, beverage carts. I don't see it being too big of an issue because those tend to be people that not necessarily playing golf. Those that had abused it, I'm going to refrain from saying who, but I'll probably won't hire too many of them next year. And you kind of maybe deduce.
When you say they abused it, they just played too much golf.
Yeah, I'd schedule them three shifts. They'd get two of them covered, maybe work one day a week and then play every day type of deal.
Yeah. A little out of balance. Yeah.
Or not work at all. And then, you know, have someone work for them and then they come play during their shift type of abuse. So
But it's a good way to boost the wage a little bit because, you know, the fast food places and all are all getting to $16-$18 an hour for starting. So,
yeah, exactly. And I think that's where our grade three on our cooks and even grade two on some of these snack shacks. I mean, I was talking to a girl that worked on carts for us. I said, I'm happy to have you back this year. And she got a job at Swig and she's making $15 an hour. And I said, well, you made $9 here this year. Let me know if you change your mind. So just kind of an idea of a lot of the high school kids can make significantly more elsewhere. So
she made $9 an hour, but that doesn't include tips, does it?
No.
Because with tips, I'll bet you she made $20 an hour.
Yeah. So we'll have some. I think the Grill Cafe, I don't think we'll have any issue filling some of the lower part-time jobs. It's more cart attendant, outside services, starter positions that I've struggled with. So, which this year was good. We had a good a good amount of employees. Even Weston had more this year than last. So
he had some good ones
too.
The twins were
were
always friendly, always helping. And trying not to get in the way.
They got jobs as school teachers, so I'm hoping they come back next summer too. So we'll see.
I see you have the snack shack on there. So is the snack shack going to be staffed?
Yeah, so my tentative plan is Monday, every day. So the snack shack is open every day. And it may be from 9 to 6, depending on the year. I'm thinking 2 hours after the first tea time, and it'll close probably an hour, hour and a half, probably an hour after the last tea time. So groups that are playing will at least see them once per nine. It won't be I'm looking at the snack shack as more of an amenity and an experience. I don't necessarily think we're going to gangbuster making tons of money out there. I'm hoping we break even as far as what we're operating out of the snack shack.
Mm-hmm.
So every day there, and then beverage carts Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, busier days, and they'll have beverage carts out each of those days.
That was wonderful.
And the snack shack will basically be hot dogs and drinks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cold sandwiches, hot dogs, grab and go stuff.
Candy and chips.
No.
Yeah. I think you'll do very well for with $18. I mean,
yeah.
its location is perfect for that because you can get.
We'll get a lot of 7 to 8 groups, not necessarily too many 10 to 11 groups because they'll just come by the cafe.
But. And unless some people decide, hey, we're not going to go up to the cafe at the turn. We're going to wait to go to the snack shack. I mean, that's a good option if you just want a beverage.
I think it will help with pace of play. I think it'll, the people that don't want to wait in line or want to get something quick before they get up to the clubhouse.
Yeah, it might be diplomatically suggested. In fact, don't forget the snack shack is available after number 10 before you tee off on number 11. So you don't necessarily have to go up.
And I don't know how we quite market it or make it safe, but I'm not opposed to having the public come down to the snack shack for drinks and snacks, and especially the kids in the neighborhoods.
Yeah, well, it's not really annoying. I mean, it's, they'd have to really go out of their way to be in the way of any golfers.
So there's a little car path coming down. We can make it a little more attractive.
Yeah, we may not have a safe sidewalk from the sidewalk down. We have to look at that. Maybe we should do that.
Yeah.
Is there room there for like 2 small picnic tables or?
About a year and a half ago. Let me just pull up maps here and we can kind of look through this. Let me kind of give you an expensive idea, and then we can go with the cheap idea.
As long as we have Mrs. Kavanaugh's there too. That would work.
What else was I going to? I was going to show you something else on maps. Oh, cool. Let me. Well, I can show that after. So I've got Snack Shack here. This section right here is somewhat flat. And then this kind of drops from this section here down. It's pretty steep. I've looked at doing even a rock wall pathway and then kind of some steps down here. So we have access from here. We've also looked at doing a small parking lot in this area off the road and then steps down. It really just depends on the functionality and what we want this to be. Do we want it to be a drink swig on top of the hill, or do we want just to capture some snacks and drinks here and there? We could make a little patio area here with some tables and chairs, which may be attractive. I don't want to get too close to the golf course because hanging out here may be an issue.
Yeah, I'd keep it primarily for golfers, but you know, long term down the road, you might look at something like that.
But for right now,
I would think if you had a sign out by the road, it said Snack Shack open to the public, hot dogs, hamburgers, you know, whatever is going to be in there, that you get a fair number of people because there's a lot of people who walk around the golf course every day and, you know, people like to grab that cup of coffee or something.
Yeah, I'm thinking putting a sign kind of right here off the shoreline trail with arrows or something that will get walkers and people down. So.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know it's there. Those that walk the golf course shouldn't know it's there because the bathrooms, but there are a lot of people that walk and drive that have no idea that there's something even there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the thing. If you do make it public accessible, it's going to open that back up to a lot of walkers, joggers, and even cyclists, unfortunately. Yeah. So it's kind of might be a catch-22.
Yeah. this is kind of a baseline for what we're looking at as far as positions for a kitchen manager, anticipating hopefully starting by February. I'd like to get something noticed and out for applications probably next 2 to 3 weeks. The grade 16, I think, is competitive. I looked at a bunch of other job postings, anywhere from 45 to 55. And then basing a bonus structure off of gross revenue, on average may hit in the $5,000 to $10,000 range. So really you're looking at 45 to kind of a $67,000 range.
Hey, full benefits.
Full benefits. That's a pretty good chef.
Good benefits.
Cook position.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
health insurance will be a different, will be different than what I think is out in the private market.
Now, is it a full-time year-round? So, and have you figured out what you, those 3 or 4 months?
That... Yeah, I'd like for them to work similar hours to myself, where they're working 50 plus hours during the peak season. And then have some limited hours.
Comp time for the
comp time, and then, you know, open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or, and limited hours.
So, just so, we so can they'll be salaried rather than hourly then? Is the way to handle that?
Yeah. Okay. In a sense, they would still clock in, clock out like my other full-time employees. But
Oh, sure. But the flexibility of schedule and et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are you going to have the kitchen maid? hire his own staff pretty much, or are you gonna
I'd work with him, especially this first year, but we want to make sure whoever we have, and they're gonna know more about who to hire than hopefully than I would.
They'll know who to hire, but will they know how many people they need to hire to
to,
if they've got the experience
to serve the traffic that comes through a golf course? That's what they wouldn't know.
I'm hoping to get someone that has some, at least some golf knowledge and experience, that knows, like, even as simple as people making the turn.
That's the problem with George and Tanya. They didn't have the restaurant staff properly. They didn't have enough people, and the people they did have didn't want to work that many hours. See? So
I'll tell you, I won't have any problem hiring cart girls or cart, say cart girls, because I'm not opposed to hiring a cart person. I had probably 40 applications for October. Well, August, September, October.
That's a good job.
This position will report directly to you. Super. Okay. That will work with
me. So that's kind of what we're looking at. We have kind of a job description put together, and I'll hopefully get that posted shortly.
Okay.
It's the last open house. So I've got a list, a long list. This just kind of highlights some of the important stuff, kind of the more major things. Golf cart GPS scheduled for February. I'm working on the advertisements, pole signs, road tips, everything that's going on GPS right now. Lining up some tournament sponsors, then doing some employee incentives. So just kind of little gift cards, pizza party type stuff. Social media will be a lot more active on there next year. Hopefully get a seasonal or part-time employee to help me with those. Association tournaments, we're doing those right now. Organizing prep, so scorecards, making sure we have all the pencils, merchandise, the menus, the TVs that are in the pro shop, getting those set up. I'm looking at two different neon signs to go above the cafe point of sale system. So we'll get the TVs set up in there. We'll have hopefully the grill ready to go by mid-January. And then finalize, hopefully finish out this construction project, really finalize what payments we have there, and then look at some other projects with the leftover money we have, and then starting to prep for next fiscal year.
When will all the cart GPS systems be here?
February. February 1st, they're coming to install, from what they've told me.
That's another added incentive.
How about wheel covers?
That I'm not sure on yet. He's supposed to be sourcing some black ones for me, but I still haven't seen the ball cleaners and club cleaners that were supposed to be put on a month ago. So,
what kind of settlement or compromise did Yamaha and Highland?
They haven't
given us because they.
Nothing yet. As far as I understand, he's still working on it. I'll keep pushing them for some compensation on what they give us.
Was it primarily Yamaha, and there was nothing Highland could do about it, or
I'm not sure.
Order some of the wrong things.
Yeah, it was. Highland's pointing the finger at Yamaha. I'm sure there's a lot of that going on. So I don't really know who dropped the ball, but it was dropped. So we'll see. Hopefully they give us either a parts credit or discount or
Now, maintenance on the carts will be the city now?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they have been.
Yeah, I knew on the older ones that they were. So I
Jake's been great. He works kind of half and half.
Yeah. He had a pretty good maintenance guy doing that one, too. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does a good job.
He was also willing to wait.
And do all carts fit in the cart barn?
Yeah, so we cut open that hole in the pro shop. We've got 10 carts parked in there. It's a lot more spread out.
Right.
We don't have them touching. So, we're
have fewer
much
accidents.
More comfortable. Yeah. We have the cart kids scraping them as they're parking them. And
can we get rid of the spiders?
Downstairs, yes. I'm anxiously waiting for them to be done to have
bring in pest control.
Pest control and bug spray, everything.
I was going to say, it's a little shaky when you're driving the cart and look down and there's two spiders saying hello to you. And, as long as...
They come off the eastern side hill out on number 3. Have you seen any tarantulas?
Mm-hmm. No.
They're out on number three.
Really?
Off that eastern side hill, big tarantula colony.
People say there's tarantulas on the trails.
Well, and if you don't over there, you don't see them.
Oh, they come
down.
They come.
That's all I need.
I've seen one right in the middle of the fairway.
Sorry, I have another meeting at 6. I gotta get to.
Thanks,
Kev. Yeah.
Hi, Kev. Thank you.
I just want to touch on some open house dates.
Take care, Ken.
I think we'll do a couple. I've got February 11th, tentatively scheduled on April 1st, and from 10 to 5. We'll have some catering. I'm not sure who we'll have right now, but we'll do some light appetizers. I'm hoping at or during those events, we'll have some photography done. I've got a real estate photographer, that I've been talking with on doing some nice pictures. They'll do 3D mapping. I want to wait till obviously the facility's done to do the interior, and I'd like to make sure we have some green grass before we do some of the exterior photos. So it'll be nice. It'll be on the website. We'll do for some posting, some social media.
Are you going to do any marketing to market the event center? Earlier in the year, a lot of people schedule their weddings in January.
Yeah.
They schedule for the summer and fall.
I've got our Google advertising ramped up right now. Because those don't require photographs.
Right.
They're redirecting to our website right now. So hopefully sooner I can get pictures on there, I think better. That tells the story for people.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy has a December 3rd. If you'd like to come, she's doing a little walkthrough open house for events that have been interested.
Okay.
December 3rd.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's quite, she's told me that she's adding more hours on there because she thinks we'll get quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably invite the public up there, probably post on the Eaglewood neighborhood page and others that they're invited to.
That's
come.
That's a good idea.
Too. It won't necessarily be an open house, but it will be.
Yeah,
come take a look and see what.
Ask her if she needs any help. Maybe a couple of committee members can help her.
Okay, I will probably could use some help because I wasn't planning on being there. Now I'm planning on being there, so probably could use a few more. So keep those dates in mind for kind of a bigger open house with everybody. I'm hoping to, like I said, hopefully have the building done before Christmas. And then I'd like to get the jellyfish lighting going and lights on the building done so we can kind of show
what,
it off.
What is the schedule on completion now?
If I knew that, I would probably be.
Okay, I'm sorry I even asked on that one.
six weeks ago.
Yeah, it's ever changing with them, which is frustrating.
Here's their COPA group.
We have an event Saturday and they were supposed to be done yesterday and they're not even
close.
Not even close. I mean, It's going to be usable and it's going to be nice, but there's door frames that aren't painted. Cleaners haven't been in there yet. It's just, I'm going to be sweating on Friday getting tables and chairs put in there because it's going to be last minute. But
if you do need help, will you please just, you know, we're just down the street. Call us and we'll come help.
This is Mark. He's the gentleman I've been working with on it, but you can check out their website. They do a pretty good job, and they've got some nice pictures that we can help kind of promote their operations, but it's kind of give a little bit of an upcharge on our events too. So
I like the horse trailer one.
That's yeah, kind of fun. They've got this one, and then mobile bar is what they call them.
It's like that was out of an ice fishing competition. Uh-huh.
But anyways, you can take a look at those.
Cool.
That's all I had.
Very well done, Tyler. Very well done.
We're trying.
Great summary. I mean, you know, revenues and grounds are going good. We don't want another COVID epidemic, but certainly has helped. It appears that a lot of the people that started playing are continuing to play. So, I mean, that's, you know, experts have been wondering what the drop-off rate would be, but it doesn't seem to be too great at this point. So, real good.
Oh, yeah, 2023 is going to be a real eye-opener, because that's when it's going to be kind of, things are going to start to level off. People aren't going to have the time to just go play golf because of COVID and things. Yeah. So I think you're going to see the scales balance a little bit. The one thing I wanted to ask you, so on the renovation now, I was out there the other day, and things are coming along slowly but slowly. Are they pretty confident that they can get everything wrapped up before they get a serious snowfall?
They're hoping to have all the exterior stuff done by next Wednesday.
So a week from today. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there aren't any storms scheduled until next Thursday. So
that's what you call close scheduling.
Yeah, they started on railing on the deck today. Took some measurements, and then they were cutting steel and fabricating some of it. They started on the exterior siding on the back end today, which I was pleasantly pleased with.
I like the railing that they're putting in. That looks pretty sharp.
How tall is the railing?
They're 44 inches.
44.
The back deck will be 46.
That's good.
So I was going to say, because on the back deck, there's quite a fall off. If you go over that railing.
Yeah. So there's a little taller on the back.
Are they going to put rails a little bit closer together? Because you may have kids up there, especially for events.
It's a great question. I'll have to ask. Okay. I don't know how far. The pickets are pretty close. I hate for someone to sneak through.
Yeah, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, would be the problem, the only problem.
Are we also going to have additional lighting going down to your simulators and either up or down?
Yeah, they don't have, there's two exterior lights on the building right there they don't have on. And then the parking lot lights, they're waiting on the poles.
Okay.
So they originally were supposed to have them available, and then I was basically told, well, the ones you want are 8 to 12 weeks out. And they said, well, we can put these other ones in. And I said, I don't want the ones that we want.
We just used a flashlight. That worked out just great. So you have to be, prepared for these things.
Everybody has a cell phone with a light on it anymore. So
yeah.
It is dark.
It is frustrating though. They don't have those exterior building lights done. Yeah.
What's been the biggest miss on the whole renovation? Is there a big miss or two that or anything you've been kind of really disappointed in, other than the fact that they just move very slowly?
I think I've kind of managed through the project. We took some stuff off and added some things. I'm probably within $10,000 to $15,000 on the original budget overall.
So it's just the timing of getting materials.
I think materials has been the most frustrating thing. And it's maybe labor. Not their truthfulness. you know, when they tell me 6 to 8 weeks on something, it often turned into 10 to 14.
Yeah.
So there really wasn't a lot.
Hard to know if they have control of that or not, but, and the fact that he couldn't find employees, right?
Yeah.
He couldn't find personnel to do what we need.
That was major.
Yeah, their exterior subcontractors really, both their exterior, have just been really slow.
And there was there were some things built into the contract, some incentives that they failed to qualify for, right?
Yeah,
and they didn't qualify for any,
not even close.
Yeah,
yeah.
How much money did they lose by not getting any of those?
I'd have to look. It wasn't very much, but it was still quite an incentive to.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
unfortunately,
I mean, it's gone better than a lot. I mean, I was involved with a fire suppression system. You know, you have to have that in the building. And it took almost 16 months to do it. And the fire marshal was going berserk. But I mean, that's something that's critical that they couldn't do. They couldn't get the pipe. They couldn't get the people. They couldn't, you know, so every construction project around is way behind schedule.
Yeah, it is.
Except those done by Big D.
Yeah.
Big D has
never
been.
Can tell.
Yeah, they
do we have anything else as far as any new business? Or if not,
about
we can
I move to complete the meeting, close the meeting.
She moves to adjourn.
I want to adjourn.
Okay.
She moves to adjourn. I'll second the motion.
Thanks all for coming, and thanks, Tyler, for putting this all together. And you know, we'll.
Great. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. Get feeling better.
Take care. Feel better.
Thank you.